If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome to 2014. You are listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call, and I am your host, Kathy Henners. I hope that everyone had a happy, safe New Year's. It's kind of hard to imagine that another year has gone by, and that means we're all getting older and wiser, of course. So if you are here on Friday evening, that means you are interested in what is happening in the world of the Muslim Brotherhood involving our country. So we're going to really start delving into, I told you starting in January, where we're going to start lining up some guests and really start giving you a lot of information that we've talked about over the past several months. Before we get too far into this evening, I just want to mention an event that I am going to be participating in, I'm very proud to say. It's called Jihadi in the U.S. and Your Backyard. And that is going to feature John Guandolo, who has been a guest on my show. As a matter of fact, one of the first shows we had a few months ago, and myself. It's going to be on January 14th. At the Valor Hall Conference Center, which is in Oak Grove, Kentucky, and that is just outside of Fort Campbell. It is just right there. It is not very far from the border, actually, from Clarksville area of Tennessee at all. And that will be happening from 6 to 9 p.m. John Guandolo has a new book out that he will be signing as well, The Jihadi Generation, and he will do his portion on the Muslim Brotherhood in America, and I will bring it closer to home, the Muslim Brotherhood in the Kentucky and Tennessee area. And then there'll be a question and answer period at that time. So we hope that everyone can join us. If you go to my Facebook page, which you can get through by going to dailyrollcall.com, or I think you can just actually look up Daily Roll Call on Facebook. The tickets are $20 per person. You sign up at eventbrite.com, and I hope to see everybody there. It is a great event. John has a fortitude of knowledge. He has served in special forces. I mean, he's really got quite a bit of knowledge regarding the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood. You can check out him at his website, understandingthethreat.com, and then go over to my website, which is dailyrollcall.com. All right, so that's that out of the way. 2014 has been declared by the Obama administration as the year of action. So I guess the past several years don't count. There was no action these past few years, but this is supposedly the year of action. So we have decided our theme on Daily Roll Call is going to be the same thing. And if you have been on my website, dailyrollcall.com, you'll see that we are constantly exposing the Islamists in the country, but in particular, you know, again, Tennessee. But nobody is safe. You know, we try to include all states, but in particular, you know, the state of Tennessee, where for some reason it seems to be the hardest hit with the Muslim Brotherhood. So we've decided that we are going to really push forward with our efforts to expose who they are and where they are and just how they are, you know, pushing their agenda on us. So the Islamists, of course, that we're talking about are the Muslim Brotherhood organizations and their supporters and actually their members and all of their front groups. So we are really going to be making an effort pushing that. Of course, their end goal is for the establishment of a global caliphate. We've talked about this before. Or a state that follows and practices the Sharia, which is a complete way of life. So the religious aspect of it really doesn't come into play at that point. So, you know, we've been seeing such a wave of their agenda in all aspects. You know, we've talked about how they're in the schools, how they're in our colleges. So there's this complete way of life that has nothing to do with religion. And we've come out and said, you know, is it in fact a religion? Well, no, it's a complete way of life. It's a political way of life. So we don't necessarily agree with the fact that it's just a religion. So there's a lot of things that are going on. If you've been paying attention to the news, and this is kind of interesting, I'll tell you this story real quick. CARE, who we talk about all the time, the Council on American Islamic Relations, has been following and monitoring a story out of Minneapolis. There was a large explosion on January 1st in an apartment building in an area known to harbor terrorists, according to law enforcement. And if you don't know, Minneapolis is the second largest population of Somalians outside of Somalia. So, of course, you know, finding an Islamic neighborhood is not that hard. But anyway, there was a really big, devastating explosion. Several people were injured. I'm not sure of the count if there were many dead people, but they did find a body apparently today, charred remains. And from some of the sources that I have been dealing with, they may have been creating a bomb there, and that's what probably caused the explosion. But you've got CARE, who was looking at the situation, very quickly looking to call it a crime of hate, which is going to turn out to be possibly something else. So that I find kind of interesting. We are going to head to the phones. We are expecting a guest to call in. We are expecting Dory O'Brien from Texas is going to be our first guest. And we're going to be talking about, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood and their role with the interfaith forums, which we've talked about. So let's see if this is our guest on the phone. And hi, welcome to Daily Roll Call.
Hello?
Hi, welcome to Daily Roll Call.
Hi there. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Do you used to be a sniper? Have you ever hold a sniper rifle and kill a guy with it? When you're
have
being
I
a
been
police?
A
yes, are you a sniper?
I can be, but I wasn't.
You can be. Do
I certainly
what kind
could
of skill
be, yes.
do people take to be a sniper?
Well, let's say you just have to be a really good shot.
A really good shot. Can you explain that to me? I mean, it's my passion. I've been playing Call of Duty all my life, and I really want to be a sniper. What kind of point you can give me?
Well, we'll have to take that up at another time, I guess, because we don't have time to address my sniper skills tonight. But you know, feel free to email me, Daily Roll Call. And, you know, we'll talk about that. Okay? All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see who else we got on the phone here.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to Daily Roll Call.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. I would just like for you to say a prayer for Miley Cyrus. She was diagnosed with brain cancer today. And if you could say
God.
A prayer for her, that'd be great.
Sure. No problem. So what's the end of that? Is that a joke or what? Yes, I guess that was a joke. All right, we're going to take another caller. I think, you know what, this is like the hour of pranked phone calls, but let's try this one here. Hi, welcome to Daily Roll Call.
Hello. Hi, how
Hello.
Are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. Go right ahead.
I was just curious what you think about the Muslims releasing Battletoads into New York City. Because they're
releasing
causing
what?
Havoc against the Mudkip and the Battletoads.
Uh-huh. All right, let's see here if we can get we're looking for Dory on the line here somewhere. Hi, welcome to Daily Roll Call. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I want to. This is Rick Astley. I just want you to explain to me why you believe that Muslims are going to impose Sharia law on America.
Well,
you know,
have you ever read anything?
Have I ever what?
Have you ever read anything, or do you know anything about Sharia law?
Well, actually, I went to University of Delaware. I graduated with a degree in Islamic studies under the teachings of Muqtadar Khan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I want to see your opinion, why you believe they're going to impose Sharia law on America.
Well, I don't just believe that they're going to. I believe that they have already started. I think that any time that you impose a law that is not, that's actually quite antithetical to what we believe, and that it is totally opposite of our Constitution, our penal law, our other laws that we have in this country, that's an imposition. And that is happening just about in every state at this time. Now, it may not be as prevalent as it could be, but I certainly believe that they are trying at this point throughout just about every state.
If you're a conservative, then you're going to have to agree with me that they have a right to try that. You know, you have that's how our political system is set up. The people, it's a democratic republic. The people, if they want something changed, and just like in Michigan, where there's a high Muslim population, they voted for the right to sodomize their women as punishment, and that passed. So if you want to change a law, and like these guys are doing, then they're going to do it the right way, and they're going to go through it.
Well, I don't know that, you know, force is necessarily the right way, and I am a conservative, but I don't believe in a law such as an international law being the law in this country. We have our laws in this country, and so if you come to this country, you need to abide by those laws. You do not try to force or impose your laws. Now, certainly, they have a right to live in their communities. They have a right to do their own thing. But once you step over that line and you start insisting that others follow your lead and follow your doctrine, that is not acceptable. Now, I believe that's probably the difference. So, you know, certainly, like I say, they have a right to be here. But we do have a constitution, we do have a Bill of Rights, and they need to follow that. Okay?
All right. Well,
I thank you for calling.
I really didn't explain my point, but Heil Hitler and death to the niggers.
Another intelligent conversation. And so at this point, we are going to be taking a break. And when we come back, we're going to take a few more phone calls. We'll be right back.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com. www.amazon.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back to Daily Roll Call. You're listening to Conservative Nation Media. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176, and I'm not sure which website passed the phone number out, but we have some serious knuckleheads trying to call in here with all kinds of crazy comments. For those of you that are serious, that I've spoke to you on the break, please hold on. We do have our guest on the phone, and that is who we are going to talk to right now. And let's see, we got, hey, Dory, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to make sure that I got you and not one of the many, I guess we'll call them crazies, calling in tonight. So let me just tell everybody who you are. We've got Dory here from Texas, who is a graduate of the Strategic Engagement Group for the Study of Islamic Doctrine at Washington, D.C. She is a mentor and a co-director for the state of Texas for ACT for America. Thank goodness Dory teaches the real facts of Islam to many schools and civic groups, church groups, and lots of people down in Texas. She was the first person in America to get an anti-Sharia, pro-American law for American courts plank in a Republican platform in 2010. And Dory is the author of several books, including 500-plus Islamic words.
No,
just one.
Just one.
Okay. All right, so you are the author of 500-plus Islamic Words You Should Know. Welcome to the show. It's nice to hear a normal voice.
Well, I'm glad to be here to give you a break then.
Yeah, this is great. I guess I wanted to start with you, Dory, talking about, we had been talking about, you and I, about the interfaith forums and how they've kind of molded their way in as far as, you know, being an Islamic or a Muslim Brotherhood platform. You know, talk to us about what your feelings are on these interfaith forums. That seems to be the deal of the day.
They are definitely the deal of the day. They're one of the most successful Dawah efforts that are going on in the United States. If you know that Dawah is jihad, and jihad is here to establish Sharia, you understand just how bad these interfaith dialogues are, because they are turning our clergy, they're twisting our clergy up to throw in with Islam. And if they can get our clergy to say, yes, we are all the same and we all pray to the same God, we are 90% to giving up our God. And these pastors, and they, well, I'm going to get to it in a minute. It's not all pastors, but they are throwing their people almost under the bus. Anybody that they are teaching this stuff to, they're saying, hey, Islam is just fine. We're all the same sort of thing. We're just walking them into hell, as far as I'm concerned. They're just, we're dumbing down. We're giving our country away through it. And, of course, that's exactly, I'm sorry, I told you about this cough. It's not quite gone. So every now and then I may just stop talking.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm sorry you still have that.
Yeah, I know. It's not going away. But anyway, so once we understand that we're at war, Dawah and interfaith dialogue are just another tactic of war, and we look at it that way, we can maybe put a stop to it. But we're a long way from there. But we start by starting like tonight. So anyway, I was in November, I held that Beware False Prophets event, which was the first ever any kind of event where we fought back against it, where we started exposing who was doing this, what on our side, not on the Islamic side. That is not, that's the Muslim Brotherhood, as clear as the Dickens, who's doing it on their side. But it's not so well known who's doing it on their, on our side. So I wanted to expose that and did so. Well, one of the things I did last night that I had not had enough time to do was really get the names of the players. I had a few, as you know from what I sent you,
yes,
but I've added
absolutely
to that quite a bit. So do I have the time to get started on the big one, which is the common word?
Absolutely, you do. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The common word came out, okay, imagine it this way. There are many organizations put on by, under the umbrella of ISNA. You know that. ISNA, ICNA, all the whole alphabet soup with the Muslim Brotherhood, led by ISNA. The leaders at ISNA go to the universities. They recruit everybody they can in the theological schools, et cetera, and the divinities, and you name it. Any of the schools that they can get to, they do. And they have, the more liberal, the better. So in, they, and they work up this ways that they can twist their minds. And in November, and I'm madly looking for the date, on October 2007, which happened to be Eid al-Fitr, 138 Muslim scholars and clerics from the Royal Al Bayt Institute of Islamic Thought of Jordan, and I love the way they put this, including the top leaders from around the world representing every major school of Islamic thought. Now, you know what that means, don't you?
Yes.
That is the five schools of Sharia law. That's all it is.
Yeah, well, you're right.
This gang got together, and they sent, you know, it makes it sound like there's 500 schools of Islamic thought. There's five. And they sent an open letter to the list, to the leaders of the Christian churches everywhere. I went through last night, as one of my deals I was doing, to look at actually who those leaders of the Christian churches, I looked at the names of 138 Muslim scholars and clerics, and I, seven of them just leapt off the page. The very first one I saw was Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. Bang, right off. Obviously, Muslim Brotherhood. He is also listed in this speech that I was giving at the Beware False Prophets. He shows up in Muslim Brotherhood, and of course, we all know him primarily because of the Monster Mosque in New York City. I mean, that's how he gained fame here. But he certainly is totally involved in the Muslim Brotherhood. The next one that pops up is Nihad Awad.
Oh, gee. A favorite of mine.
Muslim scholars and clerics, right? Okay. Then the next one I fell over was, let's see if I can get this one right, Ekmelin Isinoglu, Secretary General of the OIC.
Wow.
Now we have Hafiz Yusuf Kavatki. You may not be as familiar with him as I am. He is the resident scholar of the Islamic Association of North Texas. He lives maybe 25 miles away from me. He's the founder and instructor of the Islamic Association of North Texas Quranic Academy. He's the founding dean of the Sufa Islamic Seminary in Dallas, Texas. And I know a little bit more about him. He is also, none of this was mentioned in the list, he is or was a member of the Sikh Council USA. He sang the Fatiha in at the Texas State Capitol House in 2010. And also, I know he did in 2006 and 2007, which is how I first heard about him. But far more significant to you and me particularly, he was, or is still maybe, on the board of directors of the Freedom and Justice Foundation in Colleyville, Texas, whose president is none other than he of the clean nose and no dealings with the Muslim Brotherhood, but Muhammad El-Abiari.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And yeah, I know you're very familiar with him.
Yes, I'm just so thrilled to have Muhammad El-Abiari in my life. He just is.
In your state, yes.
He's in my life, too, in ways.
I don't envy you there. But so you've got a list of characters that are obviously been proven Muslim, Muslim Brotherhood.
I have three more to go. We have, and this one I stumbled over because I didn't even know the guy was alive. The fellow who translated The Reliance of the Traveler, Nuhamim Keller. I thought he did that 200 years ago. Apparently,
yeah.
He was recent. Another signer was Ingrid Mattson of ISNA. And lest he should have been left out, we also have Musa Melek Siddiqui, and he signed it on behalf of the whole Sikh Council of North America. Now, there's your level of the great leaders and imams of the common word turned on the response, and a common word, the full title is, a common word between you and us.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts, the preamble of that doggone thing, it's all Dawa, by the way, because it says, by the way, we're the one that started this, so now you have to make up everything that can be good. But the preamble starts, it's very long. Muslims and Christians together make up well over half the world's population. Without peace and justice between the two religious communities, and we both know what peace and justice means, don't we? There can be no meaningful peace in the world, and there's your threat. You guys, we've just told you that there's going to be no peace and justice unless you get along with us, and if their peace and justice, not ours. This is Dawa, classic Dawa.
You know, I think it's funny because so many people think that justice and democracy in the Islamic world is the same as ours, and we know
that it is not. Oh, totally not.
And
peace. I don't know. I don't even think they have the word peace, but justice and justice is actually only from the Sharia law because it's from Allah alone, and it does not have anything. I'm sorry. That's it. No, well, I got a name. It's in my book. My book can't be.
Why
freedom
do you think
and justice?
Freedom. Oh yeah, freedom and justice. Yeah, that's another
word
that they're
completely. Freedom is known as the perfect slavery to Allah. That's the definition. Justice is from Allah alone because there is no man-made part of any part of man-made law in there. God is the one who gives them their justice. That is Sharia law. So it's just totally wrong. It has nothing to do with what our idea of freedom or justice.
No.
But here it is.
Very,
and it's just clear as you can in the preamble. Yeah, completely. No one even looks at that. And they just fall into it and say, okay. Now, it is the very part of our foundation principles of both faith. Love of one God and love of thy neighbor. There are six places in the Quran where love of thy neighbor comes up, and it has nothing what to do with what you think and I think thy neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
None. So, all right, there's another law. And love of one God they're talking about Tawheed, which is the love of Allah. His us loving him. It doesn't go the other direction. You know, there's no love coming from Allah down to the people. These guys all fell for it, that I'm about to talk about in a minute. How are we doing on time? The unity of God, the necessity of love for him, and the necessity of love for neighbor is thus the common ground between Islam and Christianity. There isn't any common ground, really, between Islam and Christianity. Okay, so that's this whole huge dawah effort called a common ground, which is absolutely the most successful so far effort. Well, besides the school textbooks dawah that's going on and the junk that goes, I mean, the absolute twisting of all the information that's going on in textbooks. But that's not really the
The dawah is what's really, really fascinating, you know, because that is what they are here to do. Dori, I'm going to give your voice a break. I got to take a quick commercial break, and I'm going to give you a break, and then we'll be right back after we're done with this break. All right, we've got about 1 minute here before we get into the actual commercials, but let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. Other groundbreaking ideas from that time, the whalebone corset, the pedal-operated submarine, and the two-story outhouse. We've come a long way since then. It's time our light bulbs did the same. Visit EnergySavers.gov and learn about energy-saving light bulbs. See, these new bulbs are more efficient than the old ones, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. They last longer, too. Like how we humans last longer now that doctors use antibiotics instead of leeches. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age of aeroplanes and moving pictures, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to Daily Roll Call. You're listening to conservativenationmedia.com. This is Kathy Hinners, your host. The number to call in is 718-305-7176. And to a message to all the trolls and all the oddly named characters here in chat tonight. I know that the word got out that this was going to happen tonight, you know, that this was going to be the kind of just, you know, flooding the phone lines and flooding everything else, you know, with your nonsense. And, you know, we welcome good constructive comments, and we welcome good constructive phone calls. The rest of you are just, you know, like I say, you're just trolls. And we know that the word got out, and I'm really not concerned about it. So we're going to get back to our guest, Dori O'Brien, who has been on hold. And, Dori, we got a ton of trolls. What's the word out in Texas there? Jeez. Anyway, you know, the Interfaith Forum has been very successful. And I guess what really blows my mind is, why are these religious leaders so apt to bend over backwards for these people? They don't seem to understand the deception, and they certainly don't understand that thousands of Christians are being killed, thousands of their own sheep are being killed. And so what's your take on that?
They're liberals. They're leftists.
Yeah. Very, okay.
Just very straightforward. They have lost the word of God. They do not understand what, or aren't accepting or want to change it. You know, that's the liberal way, is to whatever's comfortable now, go for it. It is not rooted in anything, it is my opinion, but it is not rooted in anything having to do with any biblical teaching, because it certainly is not. They're losing it for different reasons, but of course it's the basic one is they're leftists. But you take that whole attitude and then you pile on the dawa, which they're being told, oh, aren't you just so right? And you're everything you believe. You're such a good person for thinking this way. And look, mm-hmm. How can we help you carry on with your mission to change all the way everybody thinks about your God? And by the way, why don't we just have Saudi Arabia send you a couple gazillion dollars for your divinity school and the Harvard school and the Princeton school and the any school practically, university you can talk about, and that mm-hmm. kind of seals the deal that they're going to keep on doing what they're doing, and it becomes pretty soon a way of life, and they cannot any longer see the incorrectness of their thinking. Their ship has steered far too way to the left, and they don't see it. If you have vested yourself in a way of thinking, I mean, and it's become a huge part of your life, to get out of it is very, very difficult. You just can't see it.
Yeah, and, you know, with I guess that's what I find so frustrating and so sad, is because the very leaders, I think, that could be really helping, you know, spread the word about this, I won't call it a religion, this way of life, this doctrine.
You may call it a dean, because that's what they call it, a D-I-N.
Yeah, as long as we don't describe it as a religion, because that is something that I decided a long time ago that it was not. It's a political way of life. So it's frustrating, though, that these leaders, basically turn against their own congregation. When it comes down, it's money. You know, it's they got to make sure they have, a good place to live and a great car to drive and all these other things, when in fact their own people, their own Christians, are being slaughtered by these people. And, I just find that so, so incredible.
Mm-hmm. Let me quote you something that I just happen to have here, called Beware False Prophets. Out of Peter, if I find it, Peter, 2 Peter 2:1, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. This is nothing new, what they're doing, mm-hmm. is my point. Jesus saw it back mm-hmm. then. He knew it was going to happen, and it is definitely happening. This is old, really. It's new to us because we're so shocked that it can happen in the United States. The whole leftist thing, I mean, just for a moment, get away from the Islamic problem, is that we've been getting farther and farther and farther away since about the 1920s in the United States because of the whole leftist movement, the whole communist movement to begin with, and then onto the Marxists, and into, now we have Hussein at the helm, so to speak, not really leading from the behind, remember.
Yes, absolutely.
It's there in the Bible. It's very clear in the Bible that everybody expected this kind of thing to happen. And there's another warning even in the, early on that, in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 33:6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes any person from them, I will require his blood from the watchman's hand. God's telling you. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's telling you these jerks are coming. But it's up to us to make sure that they are stopped. So, I mean, on the other side. So we also must take the responsibility, and that's what we do, you and me specifically sitting right here, is we're making sure that they can stop it. We can do our best to stop it and turn it around. There are certainly good people in our country who are trying to stop it. Lots mm-hmm. more than you think of. It's just we get so frustrated when we see the what I just think of is just the irresponsibility and the complete dead brainness of what they're doing and how they're just ruining such a beautiful system that we have, and that's so frustrating.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that.
It is. I mean, they're out to ruin us, and that's just, and it's our own people. I mean, you know what? I thoroughly understand what the Muslim Brotherhood is doing. They are at war with us, and they are doing mm-hmm. everything they should do to win that war. I don't admire them in any manner or means. I wish that we had one-tenth of what they have going for them in their system, in their absolute going for what they... We wouldn't have this problem if
right.
we could get our people back to that sort of roots that we have and we have in this country. And that's why I get so frustrated, and of course also why I hate to fight so hard and continue to do what I do constantly. I'm not going to use this tired old story, wake them up. We are awake. Unfortunately, we're awake in the wrong way. Too many people like the other side of the story. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're awake. They just don't happen to be looking at it the right way. And it's them we've got to turn their head. We just got to turn them around. And if we can get that side, the other side, turned around and come back to the right way, we have no problem again. I'm not saying that's going to happen overnight. I'm not even saying it's going to happen. But it's what needs
right.
I believe needs to be done. And there's millions of us who understand the problem. So it's not like we're all dead brain here either on this side. So anyway, I digress. One of the things I meant to say when I started talking about interfaith dialogue, there was an article that came out in the U.S. News from the Presbyterian Church USA in 2002 about the Presbyterian Church urges Muslim dialogue, and that's interfaith dialogue, and they hate this. The paper emphasized that dialogue is neither for the purpose of trying to convert the other party nor to water down either party's beliefs to make them compatible. Then what the heck is the point?
Yes. Yep.
And
I totally agree.
Into that. So it goes right back to what you asked me. Because we've been brainwashed. Why would you even sit there and waste your time if you don't want to make a point on anything? This is just stupid. And it's never
yeah,
come to the other group.
It is.
It's just a big, stupid waste of time. And right at the moment, unfortunately, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but unfortunately, one of our really big problems is Pope Francis. It has
mm-hmm.
gotten considerably worse, these interfaith dialogue situation since he came to the chair, when was that, March? That he's reaching out, and you've noticed that he's reaching out and saying we all have to, I've got to close here, but he's saying we all have to sit down and we have to talk more. And in the meantime, the deaths have gotten worse. And he's not doing anything about it. And
yeah,
I don't...
You're absolutely right.
If I'm insulting Catholics, I will say, you must get to your Pope. Because he is so wrong on this. It seems very arrogant of me to tell a man of God that he's wrong. But I believe he's wrong because...
Mm-hmm.
The more he's reached out, the worse the situation has gotten. And it's obvious that it's gotten worse. And it was bad enough before he got there, but it's gotten worse. And they're double downing on him and demanding that he say that Allah is the same God too. And they're not going to be satisfied until he agrees with that. In other words, he tried to reach out and, you know, meet them halfway or whatever, and now they're demanding the rest of the way. Can you demand a mile? That's exactly what they're doing.
Oh,
and the fact that a man like the Pope does not see that, and you know what? He's rather liberal himself, from what I understand. I don't want to knock the man. I'm not trying to do that. But it seems very clear that if you have shut your eyes to millions of Christians, not millions, hundreds of thousands of Christians dying around you. He lives in that area, for heaven's sake.
That's what's so amazing. It's truly, like you were just saying a minute ago, though, you know, we talk about how good they are. And I can tell you, and this is the first time you've been on tonight, so I will just tell you, between the chat room and the phone lines, we have an organization that has picked this show to call tonight to kind of flood us out, if you will. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. I just wanted to let you know what's happening, you know, as I'm talking to you. But I guess it's good because, you know, like we say, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood, they're very good at what they do. The Islamists, the Muslims, they're very good at what they do. But I do believe that they are awakening a sleeping giant. I think that
have... This is like Hussein.
You know,
President Hussein has done the most he can do to awake the country that anyone did. You know, there some things... What is it? You never see the silver lining in a cloud? Hussein has been a silver lining. And I believe Muslim Brotherhood is the same thing. Let me go and tell you a little tiny bit more about a common word, because I know I'm going to run out of time before I get to say this. That was on 10/13/2007 when that big article came out. It was like a big broadside in the newspaper with 138 Muslim scholars and clerics. On the very same day, there was a return document called, I'm madly going through here, there was a return broadside called Loving God and Neighbor Together from Yale Divinity School Center for Faith and Culture. It was endorsed by almost 300 Christian theologians and leaders, including those listed here. And that was like, you know, on a PDF thing. And now, as I was reading last night, it's almost up to 600 by November, 1 month later, 2007. So I did a study of those last night, and I was talking about how I was shocked that it really wasn't the pastors. They were the schools, the seminary theological divinity schools of Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Stanford, Fuller, Cambridge, Emory, Loyola. And then there was another section I had to list as the businesses of religion in the U.S., one of the universities. The very first one I listed would be none other than John Esposito, director, Prince Alawid bin Talal, for the Center for Muslim Christian Understanding at Georgetown University. Don't you think he would be one of the first Muslim Brotherhood? If not Muslim Brotherhood, he should be. But the businesses and corporations of religion in U.S. I went through why the universities would do it. Well, then the businesses, and this is what I call the businesses, by founder of Frontiers, founder of Emergent Villages, founder of Sojourners, founder of the Navigators, president of the Renaissance Institute, which is one I really like, founder of the Crystal Cathedral and the Hour of Power, the founder and former international, I don't know what that was, Center for Reconciliation and Mission in Richmond, the Mission Exchange is something. You know, these are all leftist organizations.
Mm-hmm.
They're not That's really amazing. Churches. They're evangelical organizations. They're just nuts. The Evangelical Lutheran Churches in America, the National Association of Evangelical People, you would think that evangelicals would be the most conservative of all, and they're not. They're farther to the left than almost any. But then you throw in something like Director Catholic Muslim Studies in the Catholic
mm-hmm.
Theological Union. I don't even know what that is. You've got bishops here, or bishops of the Episcopal Diocese of Virginia. That's a whole big organization. The clergy came down to five. I found actual five on the clergy, and one of them was Rick Warren on the Saddleback. Church, you know, and we all know what he went on to become, the head of the Chris Lamb, if you will. There were five media people, and there were a ton of not even in the United States. And then there were a ton of people I couldn't identify, like 37. So what I finally, and by the way, say 300, and including those listed below. Well, what was listed below turned out to be 148 people.
Wow.
Basically. So I thought, what is 300? Well, anyway, so I broke them up, and I did them kind of by, like I said, I just broke them into these little groups, these categories. And it turned out that 29% of it was all to the university. 27% was the businesses of religion. 13% was the foreign businesses, not even in the country. 4% were actually clergy. 4% was the media. And 25% were the ones I couldn't even identify. So a good 75% of this had nothing to do with really what you and I would call as pastors sitting in front of their churches on Sunday morning.
Incredible.
This is a big business. It's not anything, like you say, it's not a religion. It's a business. It's a system of government. And that's what the Muslim Brotherhood is playing on. That's how they're doing this game of Dawah game. And Dawah, of course, is the call to Islam, which is jihad, which is to establish Sharia in the United States or anywhere. It's a big circle, what they're doing here, and how they're doing it is through money. It's through the so-called smart ones in the schools, and that's money. They get money in. Four of the original signatories hit back out and say, hey, whoa, this didn't say what this very fast return letter that happened the same day. You think you can get 148 signatures on a newspaper ad the very same day when it came out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
just been set up there somehow, like immediately.
Amazing.
Oh my God, it's 7:54. I just didn't realize that. We are really almost out of time. Well, anyway, my whole point of everything that I wanted to do with that November Beware of False Prophets was to bring out this kind of information and let everybody know as much as possible. And I certainly wanted to do that this evening. Was to say this has to stop, but this kind of very clear information, when you get the dust and the chaff and you split it away from all this, well, this is not a very nice term, but all the God talk, and you just break it down to money, to war, to end results, you clarify it just in terms where people can see it. You can even take the word ideology out of it, and you just say, this is what they want. This is what we don't want. And how do we best educate our people is by using their words, using their examples of everything they've done. It becomes very, very clear when you start breaking down how they use what they do and how they use the people they use. But you have to sit back and take a big picture at it. You can't just, you know, flail around and most of the time we don't get to hear it in discrete pictures. We get it thrown at us and or we keep it, or it's kept from us, one or the other. I mean, we're so inundated with conflicting information that it's tough to make up your mind, or we get a complete media blackout, like you, of course, remember the Boston bombing. Do you remember mm-hmm. how fast that information went off the front page?
Yeah, I do.
It was gone as fast as it could be gone because it messed with their picture of how they wanted it. Oh, and did you also... just because I took off another whim of the thought. there was something from a CNN, no, not CNN, a CNN broadcaster was talking to a Media Matters guy, and Media Matters guy said, well, you know, there really wasn't a high enough discount for all that razzmatazz about the Boston bombing. He said that.
Unbelievable.
You think we don't live in a liberal world? A liberal leftist, complete socialist nation right at the moment? That he could even say such a thing like that, but that's what they think. So, of course, they're going to go for this kind of thing. And my first thought was, how many deaths does it take? I wonder what he would have said if the thing all over there in Kenya? Wasn't Kenya. Anyway, over there in Africa.
Yeah,
where
Kenya.
I mean,
they slaughtered everybody. It was Kenya.
I mean, literally. It was Kenya? It was a shopping mall. I remember that. And that's just not so unusual. It would be extremely unusual for here, but we want it to remain that way. Okay. Well, anyway, I've just gone all over the board here, but
what you're doing is invaluable.
Keep it up. I mean, we just must keep pounding on the actual facts. Just constantly talking about the facts. Not getting it mixed up with anything, and they will, the Muslim Brotherhood, the dot bees, the ones who are doing this kind of stuff to mess your head up are called da'is, and they really like to mess your head up, and it's not just to do it if you don't have the facts all the time at your fingertips. So whoever calls you tonight, by the way, I couldn't get your show to give me any noise, any conversation, like, so I couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
I couldn't come up. I hope you can hold true the rest of the evening. If you need me, you can call me back.
Well, and I appreciate that. I thank you for that. And I hope you get to listen. I mean, if you wanted to, you know, hold on, a lot of folks do that. They just, you know, they can listen through the phone.
Just hang me on the phone. I can do that, and I will just, you know, and if you really need me, punch me back in again, and I'll just...
I appreciate it. But, you know, and I apologize to you for having to deal with, this, callers.
Oh, I don't have to do that. I'll just listen. You know, I know how they are. I've been there more times than once.
Just you know what, though? That means we're bugging them, Dory. That means we're bothering them. We've touched a nerve, so that's a good thing. But I truly thank you for coming on. I appreciate you coming on. I certainly will, you know, have you back again as many times as you can put up with us here. And I thank
you. I'm
always
glad that you're this is my favorite subject, so I will love to come back anytime.
Well, thank you so much, Dory, and you have a good evening, and I'm just going to stick you on hold there, and if I pick up again, we'll chit-chat again, and I appreciate you calling in.
Just let me listen in.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Good night.
Have a good night.
All right. That was Dory O'Brien from Texas. We've been talking about the interfaith forums and just exactly how they are played out here. And coming up probably in just about 5 or 10 minutes, we're going to be speaking to Lori Day on some Common Core issues and what's happening in your school.
So we're going to take our break at the top of the hour here, and when we come back, we'll be speaking about Common Core.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid. Ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Daily Roll Call here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I am Kathy Hinners, your host, and the number to call in is 718-305-7176. And I'm running just a few minutes early here, so we got a few minutes before our next guest is going to be calling in. You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, we know that it was only a matter of time before we had the issue of, you know, the Muslims, some of the Muslims that are on some of these troll sites, you know, to call in and to try to shut us down or whatever. So, you know, they failed. And I think, you know, talking to Dori, she brought out a really important point here, several important points, you know, about how exactly they work. And we know how they work. And, you know, on one hand, we have some professionals that are good at what they do. That's called the Muslim Brotherhood. And then we have the rest of them that, you know, they have no idea what they've done in this country. They may think that they're winning, but let me tell you, you know, you talk about sleeper cells in this country. We've got sleeping giants in this country. So, all right, we're going to move on to our next guest, who is Lori Day. She's the founder of Education Matters Institute, and she has been a citizen activist in Tennessee since 2009. Lori regularly attends legislative hearings to keep track of what is going on, issues, and others important in the state. She was a state coordinator for the Educational Freedom Coalition and T for Education, which informs citizens on understanding school choice. In 2012, she ran for the 74th House seat, and since the election has been speaking to groups across the state on understanding Common Core. Not a lot of people understand Common Core. And so when we do get Lori on the phone, that is something that I think a lot of people have, well, a lot of people lately have emailed me and asked me about this Common Core. You know, what what exactly is it? What is the purpose of it? You know, is it any good, or is it just the further dumbing down of our children? So, you know, Lori's an expert on that, and I'm sure she's going to be able to shed some light on that subject as well. But it isn't just, you know, the standards right now. It's also the textbooks that we're fighting throughout different states. There is a lot of problems with, you know, the textbooks in general. Now, you've got the Islamists saying that it's biased, you know, because it's more towards Christianity, and it isn't biased. You know, when you're looking at a textbook for our children that has four paragraphs on Christianity and 24 pages on Islam, there's your bias right there, and it isn't going to be tolerated. And we've got some great people that are working very hard on this this subject to get that bias out. And it's being stomped on, just like the fake nonsense of this religion is being stamped out. You know, the Sharia, the way of life, their doctrine, their complete way of life, they're antithetical to everything we believe in, is being stomped out. So take that as a message, because you know what? The school books, the textbooks are next. Because we're not going to put up with this, you know, overt form of Islam just taking over everything. You know, I mean, now you're starting to mess with people's children. And what a lot of these Islamists don't understand is that you mess with our kids, you mess with our money, you're messing with the wrong people. This whole idea of Common Core, which has been adopted in a lot of states, and a lot of states are still fighting it. I don't know that this is Lori on the phone, but we're going to take a shot and see if it is. Hello, are you there?
I'm here.
Lori, I'm glad it's you.
Yes,
can you hear me?
It's me. I forgot to push one for a minute there.
That's okay. We've just had our bout with a ton of trolls tonight, from everything from, you know, being a sniper, I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff. So as you probably have been listening here, I wanted to just first ask you, I know that the legislature, or not the legislature, but there was a closed-door session today. Do you know anything about how that came out?
No, to my knowledge, that meeting was canceled due to the weather, and that's all I know. So,
okay.
You know, I think what we're seeing in Tennessee is some scrambling of realizing that there's a lot of people, you know, upset about it, the issue of Common Core, and probably some other things. I mean, this was a caucus meeting. I don't know that it was just about that or whatever, but. I know that Common Core is high on the list of what are we going to do. So it should be pretty interesting to see how this unfolds. I'll tell you that we seem to have some of the cards stacked against us, I believe, in that the governor has made no, you know, qualms about his interest and, you know, his intent on keeping Common Core. So that obviously is going to be interesting to see how the legislature deals with it. I think, you know, and I just heard, and if it was Wisconsin, I might get that wrong. I think it was Wisconsin today, though. I read an article about, they basically said that there'll be no bills that will see the floor on Common Core. And, you know, I really hope that's not going to happen here. I mean, look, here, the long and the short of it is, you know, we elect people to take care of issues for the state, and I think when there's something on the people's minds, and Common Core is, and whether you're for it or against it, I think that our legislators have a duty to bring bills that they know the people that are important to the people to the floor. You know, how would you vote? You know, what? Let's have the debate. So, I really hope that we're not going to see a situation whereby none of this stuff gets out of committee and it just gets buried and never makes it to the actual floor, so that people don't have to, you know, cough up their position on it. Or, you know, certainly that won't do us any favors of getting it out.
Right.
It would make their intentions quite clear. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, some states are pulling out. The actual pulling out of the entire standards is still a rarity in what we're seeing around different states, but there are states who have declared that that's what they're going to do. We see in other states where they're going to put a two-year kind of, we're not going to put any more standards in. We see, you know, but we see this fight across the country pretty much, you know, across the board on states that have taken it on. Tennessee's a little behind the curve of some of the other states that started fighting it earlier. Legislators, you know, legislative time runs differently in some states. Some states adopted it, you know, got it in, or, you know, so there's a timing issue where not all this is coming up in all states at the same time, but there's been a fight for it in some states for quite some time now. And then there's still some states where I think the movement is just getting started. But undoubtedly, there's a grassroots movement in every single state where Common Core has
that's
been taken
good.
On.
Yeah. Well, and that's so. Good to hear. You know, let me just ask you, what do you think is the most common misconception about Common Core?
Well, I think I don't even know if it's a misconception so much as it's a lack of information. I think that by and large, what we still see is your average person out there with kids in school or what have you literally has been, you know, their kids have been under the thumb of Common Core already, but they're just now starting to hear about it more and more. Now, kids in school have been hearing about it for a while, you know, but you're a kid mm-hmm. in school, whatever, you know, it's just another thing, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that for a lot of parents, that's what it is. Even for the ones who are kind of paying attention, they're going, oh, great, because the school is just another thing. And you probably know this in having worked as an officer, you know, you get the directive from the uppers, you know what I'm saying, and
mm-hmm.
this is now
yep.
what you do. And you adopt it, and that's what it is. And that's the position teachers have been put under. So they're being told this is what it is. It's a mandate, you know. So they, by and large, just kind of went, okay, here we go, another thing. Like, we're also used to another thing coming down the pike in the schools that it's unfortunately just become another thing. But what's happened over, I'm going to say, 40 years has been just a constant barrage of another thing in the school system. So, but what this one started to get, you know, people a little bit more riled up in that when the grassroots started taking off in different states and it started becoming, you know, started kind of a brush fire in one state and, you know, people were getting a hold of this information. We were never told anything about us getting it other than it was already here. You know, there was very little conversation in the front end of this thing. You know, our legislative body literally had to put the real rush on it, and as did many states, to qualify for certain dates. And of course this stuff was attached to money for, you know, this, the Common Core came through most states, a lot of them through the Race to the Top little contest they threw, and you know, then the states had to fill out this application to be eligible for this money. And of course, one of those things for eligibility was taking on standards. And so they weren't named Common Core even when the legislative body signed off on them. So the words Common Core weren't known. And so it's been we're behind the curve. But look, and you know, as well as, you know, any topic we want to talk about, whether it's the Islamic issue or whatever, of course that mm-hmm. was by design. You know, we're not going to have this conversation or this debate or this, you know, these talking points on both sides and all this stuff in advance.
Right.
So that people kind of see things coming. No, we're the Knight Rider train. You know, we're the sneaking in train. So at the end of the day, you know, for me, a lot of this has to do with that. Anything that was sneaky could never be trusted. And that my mother taught me that when I was a young kid.
Absolutely.
If it's sneaky, there cannot be anything to shine light on, or it would have been done
no.
in the light.
That's
and
so
Common
true.
Core is a classic example of being done in the shadows. And I'd fight it on that alone. It, you know, for me, it doesn't even matter if the standards are good. If you put it through in a sneaky manner, why did you? So I don't even want to have the conversation about how it's better for me. You've already blown my opportunity to believe that.
Oh, absolutely. Lori, I'm going to put you on hold for just a second. We got to take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we'll continue about this this whole theory and why it's being, you know, come in through the back door. So just give me a second here, and we'll be right back.
Sure.
Okay?
Right.
All right.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to conservativenationmedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call, and I'm Kathy Hinners. Our number to call in, 718-305-716. If you have a question about anything so far that we've been talking about tonight, whether it's interfaith or whether it is Common Core, and we have Lori Day on the phone with us, and we're talking about just exactly how this whole phenomenon is taking place. And you're right, Lori, as far as it being, anything that has to come in the back door, there's a problem with that. And,
yeah.
That seems to be a given.
And we see that in so many things. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see in Obamacare. We see that with the Muslim Brotherhood. We see that with all these things that are slanting the Constitution, state laws, because there's so many tentacles involved. It's sold one way, and it's rushed, and people don't read things, and money's dangled. I mean, people are being appointed without any sort of, they don't need to be voted in people anymore. They don't, and every realm is getting more and more of that. We're definitely in the age of the, administrator and the regulator and that's. I can't trust that, because what happens is, and I always tell people, what if the standards are great? If the standards are great, I guess that's great. But my thing is what are we basing this on? And they knew that this would be a question. there is no track record for success for these standards. Okay, there's mm-hmm. you know, there's been these templates of you know, world standards laying around for many, many years, and this is something that just became ripe fruit, you know, low hanging fruit.
Yeah,
it wasn't really like even I don't believe the total design of this administration. I think it's been something that's been loitering with intent for a while, and it just became more and more of a low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
We can't trust things. I just keep going back to that. People try and
right.
argue about, but what if they work? And it's like, we're going to guinea pig a country with 300 million people, and out of that, how many of these are children, 45 million, I don't know. And
right.
we're saying to ourselves, with no template of success, okay, that we're suddenly going to have nationalized standards. The argument is made all the time about, you know, countries that have nationalized standards fare better on test scores and this and test scores on that. There's some misconceptions with that as well. You know, not always are those things measured out in a way. You know, we're one of the few countries where every child has the ability to go to school. America is unique in many ways, and you know this. We see this in other things. People say, well, this healthcare works there. You know, it's like, yeah, and there's 3 million people that live there. Or, you
right.
know, you can't go by that. You can't go. We have a unique set of, the Republic's a unique, you know, framing in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
To do any of this means we're thwarting everything about being a true republic, first of all. And so
yeah.
if it's great and if it's really for the betterment of the republic, let's take it to the states in an open, honest way and take it to the people. I think the people have a right to vote on something where their taxpayer money is going for something as important as education.
Oh,
and,
absolutely. I agree there. Oh, my goodness.
You
yeah.
know, but just the way – but what they're trying to do is get this farther and farther away from representatives' hands. And that, you know, I pray that – our representatives are having a mindset that says, do I want to be part of really what's it really even phasing out any proper channel of what I'm even here to represent anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Because what's going to happen is this whole thing is devised to for everything to be gone to the federal level, you know, including the data on the kids and all this stuff. And the states really aren't going to have – they're not going to really they're going to be administrators of the money. That's really what we're looking at here. That's
mm-hmm.
what our legislative body now is in terms of where they've positioned themselves with state school boards to be. Administrators
yeah,
of the
well,
money.
Yep, and that's what it always comes down to. And I guess, too, my other question to you, too, and we've got about 7 minutes before we take another break, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the apathy of why this is, you know, being able to take hold. Why is it that, you know, I know parents care, but I also know that we just can't seem to get, I would think there'd be outrage. I would think that school board meetings would be overflowing. And I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing outrage. It's almost a quiet acceptance. And, you know, where is this coming from? Why do you think that we just can't seem to get people fired up really about anything? But, you know, especially when it involves your kids. I don't get this. What do you think?
I know. And to me, if there was any one issue that could really jolt the American people, would be this issue. And, again, I don't expect everybody to think like I do. If we could, to me, the conversation needs to be alive and kicking. And it,
mm-hmm.
and I don't see it either. I'm convinced that what we're dealing with is what has been trickled in through the schools to this point. We have, you know, if people are under 40 years old and they've got kids in school, what they went through, their school experience was even more politically correct than when I, you know, it started when I was in school. The real sort of collectivism type mindset and the acceptance of all things, you know, type mindset. And also the everybody has to go to college mindset. And my husband and I were talking today about that poster that came out in, like, in the 80s. He remembered that said, you know, think smart, work smart, not hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's just been so we have become fat and lazy, and I mean that mm-hmm. Metaphorically, whatever.
Sure.
We've just gotten so used to being consumers and busy, and everything's kind of got a routine. And my kids, as long as their report card says something, you know, fairly acceptable to me, we're moving on. You know what I'm saying? We're not active in the role children anymore. And I think that it's because we've slowly been on an IV drip of separation of the family and more and more power to the government. And I think collectively that's what we see. We see a country that has now been, you know, it's the frog in the pot, you know. And no one's feeling like it's scalding yet. Like you're not scrambling to try and get to the edge of the pan. And some people are starting to feel like, is that a little bubble on the bottom of the pan I see? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a little?
Sure, absolutely.
You know, but in reality, we are at a boiling point. And so there's a big gap of people are so apathetic and so used to trusting their government and not taking an active role in government that they just assume that, they're a bunch of boneheads. Yeah, you know, I don't even vote, you know. But yet not connecting the fact that, but that's because you think they're boneheads or whatever, that's exactly why, you know, stuff is happening. And even though you mm-hmm. might not be aware enough to know exactly the details of what's happening all the time, it's mounting up. It's mounting. You know, it's been building and building and building. And so I think part of this, a lot of what we see in this country has already, we're victims of the government school system.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced of it.
I'm just afraid of what it's going to, you know, produce as far as children. You know, it's an experiment that I think the future generation, I mean, to me, you know, technology is a wonderful thing, but we're creating a group of people that can't even speak to each other. They have to text. And, you know, when you look at it, I guess in the whole scope of things and, you know, call me a conspiracy theorist or whatever, but I always think that the government wants that because that way when you have to fight each other, you don't know them. Let me try to explain that, I guess, a different way. If there's no personalization or no emotion because you don't know the person you're texting because there's no emotion there, then it's easier to fight that person. Or, you know, I just see a nation of people being divided and, you know, being made more stupid as every day goes by. You know, you talk about Colorado and pot. I don't care, you know, what they do as far as legalizing it. But, you know, you're creating a state full of dead people, dead brain people, you know, and so where does that lead to? You know, so it's really kind of crazy when you look at the entire picture. And unfortunately, the littlest people are seriously the victims. And when we come back from a break, I just want to talk about, you know, how is it that these Islamists can get thousands of people at conferences and we can't get hundreds of people at conferences? And we'll talk about that after we come back from this break. I'm going to just put you on hold for a few minutes, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. All right, LifeLock is one of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it can take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. It helps to protect your personal information, use a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing like it that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and to get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions and scopes may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. It's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony for Red, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue sky.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
conservativenationmedia.com, and I am Kathy Hinders, your host. If you want to give us a call, 718-305-716, and we are speaking to Lori Day, who happens to be an expert on Common Core, as well as a few other things. And Lori, before the break, you know, I posed a question. You know, I had just been reading up about some of these conferences that are coming up and that have just passed by like the Islamic Society of North America or Muslim Brotherhood, you know, front groups.
Mm-hmm.
And they get thousands of people at these conferences, you know, whether it's about children or marriage or whatever, you know, they propose.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't seem to get, you know, hundreds of them. I guess
right. It
all goes back to apathy. But, you know, I guess I just would love to know what are they doing right? You know, I mean, are they that strong in their convictions and we aren't?
Well, geez, it's the $1 million question for people like us who have gone and spoke
the
to the mighty pack of eight. Yeah. It is so frustrating. And you're right. You know, I don't care what it is. I think it's a combination, and while I don't have, you know, proof, it's probably either, but my inclination, my instincts tell me that I think, again, we are going to have to go back to apathy, and there's definitely a spiritual void for many happening, and that I don't feel like a lot of people feel centered by something. And I think what you see there is they feel centered about something. And I think it might get down to their desire to win is much greater than our fear of what we could lose. Mm-hmm. And again, it's because we're behind the ball here. We're behind the curve. We're slow. We're not looking at all things. We're micro looking, you know, and passing things off with a, nah, that's probably okay, you know. And that's, and I guess what I do well, because I'm not really an expert probably at anything, but I think inherently what I have is a really good vision for seeing patterns and putting things together. And I see it across the board, you know, in that people, you know, it's like you're talking about, I don't remember when I was used to talk about Agenda 21, and people would just look at you like, are you kidding me? You know, or now it's like Common Core, I get the same look, like, why did you just bring that up? And because for me, it's very clear. For me, patterns are very clear, and that there's cross wires happening in different things to get certain goals done, you know? And they know exactly what their agenda is, where we've got people that are just not seeing the full picture yet. And I think they're just, again, stuck in the routine. Now I'm busy that night. Because they haven't caught up. Their concern of what they could lose has not caught up to their desire to gain ground. You know, it's like the difference between two great athletes. One of them wants to win, and one of them is just good at what they do. But they don't necessarily have the fire to win. And I would put that analogy out there as part of it, I think. I think the other part of it is there's money, and there's perks, and there's a cohesive effort on behalf of some of these groups that ensure that big groups are there. So, you know. And, hey, I know people like you and I can't compete with that, but that's what's happening. No. You know, I don't know that they're paid to literally be there, but something's happening in their world that helps them, that's part of the package of what they need to do, you know. And then, like, again, they have a centralized goal. And so I think for me, that's how I would answer it just from my own perspective, you know. But it's a million-dollar question.
You made it very clear, though. I mean, I think just hearing what you said it makes a lot of sense. And first of all, money is always the bottom line in everything. But
sure.
I really think, you know, that we aren't centered. You know, we have more and more atheists coming out of the woodwork, which you never saw happen, or maybe you did. It just wasn't as prevalent and out as it is today. There's just no, I guess it's the godlessness in this country, and then, you know, that turns into a lawlessness in a country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad because you think back about, you know, your parents and my parents and you know, people who have served in these wars, even today, the military that's serving today, you know, they're coming home. They don't have to worry about what's happening over there. They're coming home to a country that's being eaten alive by the very enemy they were fighting over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess when I get angry, and I get angry a lot thinking about this, that we're just being destroyed by this ideology, in, you know, which includes the Islamic one. You know, you and I have talked, we've spoken together, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's always that connection, and I always bring it back to that connection, because it's important only in a way because that helps people understand that we are being taken over by this group of, I don't even know what to call them. They're not religious in any aspect, I don't feel. But anyway, you're right. The money is the bottom line. You can't win when you have Saudi oil money like so many of these groups do. You're not going to win. But
mm-hmm.
I think where hopefully we will win is when people do recognize, if they don't get their head out of the sand, they better have a burqa and a Quran next to them when they come out, because that's where we're going to be at. But you're right. When you speak about certain things, people look at you like, you know, you are nuts. And
I guess maybe we've been, you know, chosen to see through these things, and that's why we can speak out against them. But, you know, it's hard, you know.
It's very hard. You know, people get argumentative and everything, and it's like, and that's fine, you know. And again, I don't deem myself as someone who's out there trying to change minds. I feel like I'm someone that just goes out there to try and create curiosity. I mean, mm-hmm. if for God's sakes, if you can't be curious about how what a fruitcake I am and why, I mean, mm-hmm. here's the thing, you know. I mean, and there's a few of us and people who know more than me about it in the state of Tennessee, like Common Core or whatever. We don't even have a kid in a public school. You know, I mean,
right.
Some people say, you know, you don't even have a dog in that race. And it's like, well, number one, yeah, I do. Because
mm-hmm.
my kid needs to grow up in this world where he is already, you know, on the fringe as being a homeschooled student.
Mm-hmm.
As what people consider him to be on the fringe, but he will have to go out of this nest at some point in time, and he will be, you know, his peers will be people that are put through the public schools. The mindset will be completely different, and to some extent, that's okay. I feel like he's armored for that, you know. But
right.
it's the whole world in which we're creating. For these young people will not have, these kids already do not have what we had, in terms of the taste of freedom of to decide, and we were not tracked like kids are now going to be tracked. And I mean, and again, it's about money. It's about consumerism. It's about targeting these kids for consumerism. It's about targeting these kids for a whole new face of nationalism, which I'm very against that whole, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Nationalism. Mm-hmm. And they're also being, you know, they're going to be funneled into workforce. And it gets real scary if you've got a child who maybe has a learning disability or a physical disability or is even particularly smart. These kids
yeah.
are going to be particularly targeted as not in the center zone. If I had a child with autism or anything, I'd be mortified to be having them in public school right now. Absolutely mortified because of what the data tracking is going to do to these kids. Never mind, let's talk
yeah.
about the standard. We need to get people, you know, like freedom, like belief in God or whatever people want to do, it has to come from them. It astounds me that the issue of people's kids isn't getting just a little bit more being a live wire about it, to at least be curious.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what people like you and I, that's really our role, is to bring it to more than, you know, my family. I'm supposed
mm-hmm.
to be teaching my child something about responsibility, not only for himself and his actions, but for his community and the people around him. I always felt like if I know something a little bit more than what I think somebody else doesn't see, I consider that to be a personal responsibility to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not
I agree with that.
Raising that up anymore, and that's part of what the school system has already taken out of people. Now it's you keep your head down, mind your own business, blah, 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 you know? Well,
yeah.
on one hand, that works, but it's also robbing a huge part of just being human and knowing connections, and that's where the technology thing slips into what the agenda has been and fits perfectly. We are really behind here, and it's like I kept trying to tell people with Agenda 21, we're very, very behind here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparently going to have to take every individual situation that parents are going to see in school, they're going to have their own personal battle with it before they'll get into the race. That's sad for me.
Yeah.
That's sad for me because
hoping
there's one kid in a school that my kid doesn't even go to that's hurting, that's crying, that's vomiting, that's wetting himself because of testing, because this is happening, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That breaks me, and that's breaking our society. And what we don't even know what that mental psyche of a young mind that's still fusing is going to turn out as an adult. I keep telling people, I'm convinced that no matter how great you think you're raising your kids, if they don't see you fighting for what you believe in or really defending you through school and really paying attention through school, you are now raising a child that you won't recognize later.
Right.
There
nope,
has already
been totally
a whole
agree.
Generation of people that have gone through that with seeing what happens when their kids go to college. And most of them start to kind of come back to kind of the roots of what they thought, and, you know, and they saw both sides now, and they kind of fell into, I'm going to think completely different as my parents, and part of that is just maturity. But
mm-hmm.
it's, every generation is getting harder and harder to bring those young people back because we've stolen something from them at a young age. So they can't come back because we took it out of them. And that alarms me to no end. I mean, I just feel for these kids, and it breaks my heart to think that not every parent is being a defender. You literally need to be your children's defender, because here's what's the long and the short of this is to separate the family unit further.
Mm-hmm.
We already know this.
Yeah.
So. You know, and it's gonna work unless they start to become not just parents who feed, clothe, hug. That's great, and we, you know,
right.
It's not enough. It's not enough. You know, we're generations of non-fighters. You know, and it's, but if you can't fight for your kid, I'm just. That alarms me. I thought for sure that this movement for the education thing would be a lot more on fire than it is. And
well, you know, Lori, I've looked at it too. There's a lot of what I feel are distractions, you know, coming along here. And I
mm-hmm.
think the healthcare, you know, you've got millions of people who have flat out lost their coverage and who are struggling right now. And
oh, yeah.
I think that probably is playing into you know, the fact that, oh, we can't deal with what's happening in school right now. We don't have our health insurance. And, you know, I guess that's all part of the plan. You know,
it is.
Take away
it
one
is.
Thing.
It is, and that's why I tell people, just pick your thing. Don't get overwhelmed. But, you know, raise the banner for what really gets your goat. You know, what really
mm-hmm.
hits you wrong. If everybody just did that, you know, we would see an amazing shift. We don't have to take it all on. Now, that was hard for me to get over for a while because I saw so much, and I thought, and I would look in and then research stuff and, you know, stay up and just dream it. And, I mean, you know, go down the rabbit holes on stuff, you know, and try and,
mm-hmm.
and both sides, see the argument, talk to people who believed that way, find out why. Always get stalemated with, they can't answer me. They're not answering me, you know. Go down deeper into the rabbit holes. And I finally went, you know, I'm making myself nuts here. I can't take on Islam. I can't take on Agenda 21. I can't take on, finally, though, education. Because I feel like education is one of the reasons of why we are where we are and why this overwhelming the system thing is working so well.
Mm-hmm.
Is because, and that's why I feel like it's our last bastion of hope is to save the education system. And to save our kids, you know, and whatever that education system looks like to that particular parent, you know. But it's all being hijacked. It's all being
yeah.
hijacked to lead them to the government school. And, you know, they're hijacking school choice, and they're hijacking, they've tried to hijack homeschooling with the Common Core alignments and, you know, the threats of, you know, homeschool kids having to do the testing. And, you know, they're trying to rope them all in. They don't really want anybody
mm-hmm.
out there, you know, that's not thinking like everybody else. I mean,
no,
I you know
God
what?
Forbid,
isn't there days, Kathy, where you just don't even want to hear yourself say stuff like this?
Yeah, all the time.
I would be so happy to be wrong on so many things.
Yeah. Me too.
Like, I've never wanted to be so wrong in my life as I am about a lot of the stuff that I see.
Well,
but
and I agree
for
with
me,
you there.
They're not, you know.
No. You know, and I keep thinking the same thing. You know, you know my thing is Islam, and I keep
You know, I'll wake up and think, well, maybe, you know, maybe they're not as many as they say there are. Maybe they aren't, you know, trying to take us over or whatever, because that seems like it's on the other side of the world. And then the intelligence starts coming in and you see, you know, what's happening. And, you know, you think, well, okay, I got to fight, you know. And you made a point before, and now I've lost that thought, but I wanted to say that their whole thing is, and this is kind of off the topic, I guess, but they value death more than we value life. So how do you fight that? How do you fight a system that is beholding those values? And, you know, I guess when you group it all together, like this whole government, this whole administration is destroying every single thing by letting this enemy come in, whether it's education or faith or whatever it is, mm-hmm. we're just being destroyed. And you know, going back to what is going to make a person
mm-hmm.
angry. You know, I talked on a show, one of my shows a couple weeks ago, about what will it take, you know, will the military and law enforcement take their, you know, come after their own citizens? And what is your point of breaking? And I had quite a few calls that night, but, you know, you just think that you're going to be flooded with answers and, you know, trying to tick people off, and it's like, well, nobody cares. You know, I got to worry about this
yeah.
or I got to worry about that. But they don't realize that what we're talking about is the very crux of if they don't fix what we're talking about, they are never going to be able to have the insurance or the health care or anything, because
exactly.
that's all socialized. And
exactly.
so, you know, while they're not paying attention to what they think maybe our small battles are, we know that our small battles are leading up to the big, you know, the changing of the entire nation. And
mm-hmm.
it's hard. You
it
know,
is.
I agree
it
with
is.
You there.
I, you know, I just always tell people, it's like, just please, you know, just spend one evening, you know, getting on to a cause, to a, you know, and just learn, you know, because there's going to be something. And that's why when I did Education Matters, I wanted to start something that would address all different kinds of things about education. I mean, and a lot of, like, my Facebook page and stuff is dedicated to Common Core. I mean, there's just so much that comes down the pipe in news stories and stuff. It's just unbelievable. But I also try and post things about, you know, the textbooks. And because, see, all that's all been happening for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all sort of came to fruition with the Common Core drum. That suddenly people go, yeah, and I'm mad about this about school, too. And it's like, well, that doesn't have anything to do with Common Core. But I'm glad you're mad, you know. Come on and be mad.
Whatever it takes.
Because
yep.
there's, exactly, you know. But don't try and argue, win an argument about Common Core that the Islam and the textbooks is part of that. It is, but it isn't, you know. And
mm-hmm.
it's part of just the whole mindset of there's such willful blindness happening. I think a lot of it's people are locked in fear. And I only believe in fear to a point. I really, fear can be a really good friend, you know, in a desperate time of a situation, of a crisis. You know, I would like to think that I will react to fear quickly in that kind of fear
yeah.
situation. But the day-to-day kind of slow build fear that just puts people in a deer in headlights kind of a trance is what we see now. They're overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
so they ignore. And I think if you come back out with the lens and you start to connect everything, you just go, man, I just got to get myself in to something, you know? Because then
yes,
what we would see is a mass awareness for all things, even though you might only just be raising the banner for education or for Islam or for Obamacare or whatever. And the
yeah.
thing that is people don't see, you know, everybody's worried about insurance and stuff, but this whole school, this whole data thing is so connected to that. And, I mean,
sure.
You know, pediatricians for a long time have been asking a lot of nosy questions, you know, and I know that
yeah.
myself. And you want to talk about it getting ramped up now. And all that is because of the socialized health care. again, if I had a child with a disability, they're not going to get help, Kathy. They're just
right.
not. They're not.
That's a shame.
They're going to start casting off the downtrodden, the anybody that they deem that, okay? And that kind of thing just breaks my heart, and it makes me very mad,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I don't,
yeah.
I don't, look, I'm checking out at some point, you know what I mean? I figure the best I can do is see my son see me believe in something and not just complain about it.
Yep. And you've been actually a woman of action for a long time. So, you know, you're doing what you can do.
Well, doing
and you
what
know
we
what?
Can
each,
do, you know.
Each one of us in our own way, you know, I know that we're making headway. You know, I know that we're hitting a nerve in whatever we're talking about. You know, I saw a troll
mm-hmm.
galore here tonight. And so as long as we can affect one thing, whatever it is, and I guess you described it right, whatever banner you can hold up, whatever you believe in, you have to fight for it.
Exactly.
And, we're getting ready to close out the show here, Lori, and I thank you, you know, so much for coming on because I think it is so important, you know, that the education is brought out and understood what is happening in this country. And, you know, you're doing a great job, you know, for the state of Tennessee. You know, your name is out there, you know, for being one of the lead people in this fight. And I think people need to thank you. But, I mean, it isn't about that. But somebody's
no.
got to do it, you know.
It's not
and
about it at
I
all.
Certainly
and
no,
I appreciate it. And
not.
I appreciate what you do. And again, I appreciate anybody who just – whether I agree with them or not, but I appreciate people that believe in it to the point of action. And, you know, we just need to see more of that. I think that we can't see, you know, you have to be the change you want to see, you know. And I sat around apathetic for most of my life because I'm a spoiled American kid, you know. And
no, you're
that's
not
what
anymore.
We all kind of are. And, but
well.
Then I had my own kid, and then our country – then it felt unsafe, and then it made me think, and then I watched my baby at the time, and everything's just led for me to be go into protective mom zone.
Yeah,
but it,
absolutely.
But it made me hold up that mirror, and that's what we need to be, is mirrors.
If,
and we need to quit pointing, you know, spotlights on others, but be a mirror. What are you doing,
yeah.
you know? And
I agree.
And what are you showing your kid that they need to do? Because they're looking at you through what you do, not what you say, you know? I've been accused
well,
of brainwashing my kid to this and that. It's like, I'll tell you something.
Please.
I got a kid who, if he thinks I'm wrong, is going to tell me, you know? He thinks for himself, okay. even though obviously I'm an influence. But we debate things out all the time, you know? But what he's saying, he does that because he sees me do it.
Yeah, and I'm
you
sure
know?
He appreciates that, you know? So... Well, Lori, I got to end it here, but I thank you so much for what you do,
thank
and
you
I thank
so
you for
much.
Calling in.
And thank
you know,
everybody
I will
out
in...
there who's fighting some issue. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll be in touch, and as things progress, you know, please feel free to, you know, come back on and talk about, you know, where we're at and what's going on. So
thank you,
I appreciate
Kathy.
You coming on.
Time. Thanks, Jess.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. All righty, bye-bye. All right, and we are just coming down to the end of our first show in the year of 2014. I want to thank both my guests, Dory and Lori. You know, it was a great show. We learned a lot about, you know, basically the Interfaith Forum and really how comical that is and what a joke that is. And then again with Lori, with, you know, what's happening in the apathy with the Common Core and apathy pretty much all the way around. So, you know, please, you know, think about what needs to be done and act on it in any small way. Okay, so if you've had enough of talking about this stuff, feel free to go to the website, dailyrollcall.com, and look at some of the articles there. Feel free to comment. Feel free to email me about what you would like to see on the show, what you'd like to you know, cover next. And we listen to what you write. So please... feel free to give us a call. So until next week, everyone have a good, healthy, happy, safe week, and we'll see you back here. God bless.